This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Politics.
Hey, Tao, Dumelang. How are you guys doing? My name is Fresh. His name is Botsang. And you are slap bang in the middle of another episode of Wow, What a Week. Hashtag Politics. And today, the docket is heaving. The ANC has finally opened the door to everyone, including people who've never carried a card, to nominate its mayoral candidates. Action SA is making noise about a mayoral committee built on profession, not patronage. Minister Hlabisa is back at the podium with the coalition's bill, swearing it will be law by November. March in March, led by former Vuma FM presenter Jacinta Ngwembese Zuma, has set 30 June as a deadline for undocumented foreign nationals to self-deport. Mafikeng activist Thato Molosankwe shot dead, assassinated at home, and the EU has quietly told the continent that the aid era is over. Strap in. This is Politics on Wow, What a Week. What's up?
Good morning, Fresh.
How is it?
The viewers and Mr. Nkeshapubra.
I'm good.
I'm good. When I leave here.
Yes.
Coincidentally, when the ANC has announced or has opened up for mayoral candidates to apply, I'll officially be taking my political position today.
Okay, so we are going out now at 8.
Yes.
And we should be done, hopefully not in 2 hours like last week.
Yeah.
So let's say we're done at 9:30.
Yes.
How many more minutes until we know where you are politically?
I think maybe in 2 hours.
Okay, so in
after
the next...
That, yeah.
Okay, so by midday...
By midday.
We will know where your mast is, where your flag is masting.
Absolutely. And I will share the link. Well, it will be all over the... what do you call this thing?
The interwebs.
The internet, mainstream media.
Hmm.
As well as we'll share a link.
How are you feeling?
I've got mixed feelings. Mm. I became okay only 2 days ago.
Sure.
Really, this is happening. Today, moving onwards, I'll be regarded as a politician somehow weird. But I'm ready for the task.
Sure.
And yeah.
When in doubt, where do you turn? When you feel like, okay, I've decided, but I'm still not sure. Is it a conversation with self? Do you call a lady?
I call Ramokhulu. Okay. And he has been pushing me for this, to say, look, take up your stand in the communities and all that. But when I'm in doubt, I'll call him. He always says, you must listen to my gut and sixth sense.
Hmm.
So I turn to him. It's so funny that I never speak politics or career with the old lady. And she's in. She's behind me,
yes,
full time, but I sometimes close up. I meditate and I sit with myself. You know, last week Saturday was my birthday. My jita took me out, and I ran away actually because it was breakfast, lunch, this, everybody coming in. I said to them, "I'm going to the bathroom." I literally past 8, I went home.
You threw a ninja bomb.
Yeah, and in the evening. By 20 to 9, I was in the house Saturday evening on my birthday.
Yes.
I never left the house until on Wednesday.
Were you alone?
I was alone.
Okay.
I never left the house. So I was thinking about this thing very deep.
But if you are going into politics without a first lady, should you be concerned?
Because
often people feel that, if you are within a certain structure, we can see you as more stable than if you're not
when
in
you
some
are,
structure.
It's what people portray out there.
So I'm not first lady.
There's people already actually making jokes about it. I'm not. You got to walk the carpet with you. Like, no, that can wait.
So are you looking? Are we taking applications for a first lady?
I've opened applications.
Ah, okay. So what do we send? Like bank account details? What else? We want bank balance, Pele. We want to see what you're bringing to the table. This is not a time. He's not a retirement plan, please.
Actually, I'm going to make sure that you scan them first.
Yes.
The applicants.
Sifte through.
Sifte, yeah.
Remove the chafe.
But yeah, so anyway, yeah, that's going to happen today, Fresh. But before I forgot, man, on a very good note, I wanted us to congratulate Jobra and Oskido.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know. I was
Order
so
of Ikamanga in silver.
Well deserved. You know, he's receiving it while he's still alive and developing and helping youth. Thumbs up to Oscar Varona.
You know, because Oscar is very real and very selfless. You know, after he got his order of Ikamanga, he called literally probably about 50 of us that he feels co-own the award.
That's him.
Because he feels it's not his award. And some of us are in the same WhatsApp group with him. And he told all of us individually that, guys, this is us. Because we've all been on the journey.
On the journey,
Yes, they've given me the award, but this is us walking together, like we've done over the 30 years.
No, that's great.
And that's what I appreciate about him, that he's always about the collective.
The collective.
Not about me.
No, you see, these are the kind of people who should receive these awards because he represents the people.
Absolutely.
Very selfless person, and thumbs up, Oskido.
Yes. Let's talk about March and March.
Yes, sir.
March and March started off as a single protest. Some would say a little protest at Addington Primary School in KZN. And it's since become a thing.
Look, they're
marches across Durban, Kugompo, Pitori, Johannesburg. And now we're being told that 30 June is the deadline for foreign nationals who are not documented to get out of the country.
Yes, to what do you call it? To
self-deport.
Self-deport, yes.
Is regularizing your stay an option?
Look, Fresh, the South African regulations are always open to people to say, be here legally.
But means get out and then come back illegally.
It depends on the applications. But, you know, for residence, study, work permit, and things like that, you must apply while you are outside the country.
Yes.
And so for example, and I don't know how was it done like that. I've got a friend who's in Lesotho, and she is in the entertainment industry and all that media industry. She had to go to Lady Brand, to the police station to take fingerprints to go and renew her work permit with the South African High Commission.
Yes.
I don't know why did she have to go to the police, but it's for police clearance and all those things in South Africa. So people must just do the right things to be able to be in their country. It is going to be very difficult, Fresh. I'm one of the people who have been saying undocumented foreign nationals in South Africa are more than the documented ones. And people who came here mainly as asylum seekers. It's going to be very difficult because the application for asylum seekers, you are running away. So that's why we accept you in the country where you're already in. Then you must follow process to be documented.
So.
And when you look at the complaints and the laments of March on March, which I think they were started by Operation Dudula and many other organizations before, they were not given an ear. It's getting out of hand. The government did not act promptly.
What could have government done at a practical level? What should government have done?
One of the first things we should have done, we should have long amended and tightened up our immigration rules. When this thing started. It's over 10 years we picked it up.
But all the legislation in the world is not going to stop someone from swimming across the Limpopo or living under the radar within the city.
But you see, once you tighten them up and make it seriously punishable for people who come in illegally, instead of saying, we'll take you to Lindela and deport you to your country, you know, things like that. For example, Fresh, one of the biggest problems, let me tell you, that I've experienced when I was doing consular work, it's when people were arrested in the country for being illegal immigrants. Ne? One of the requirements that you have to do as a government, you have to determine the nationality or citizen or residence of that particular person. Which country is he coming from? That country must confirm that, yes, that's our national. You can deport them back. You know what happens with many? They give you a false country to say, for example, a person, as an example, will be from Nigeria and he will say, I am actually from Ghana. Then the Ghanaians will say, no, that's not one of us. So for that prolonged time, that person keeps on misleading you. You must host that person. That's one of the challenges. But at the moment, I don't think organizations like March on March will succeed in requesting people to self-deport. if people are in a comfort zone, they are protected by the system, they are protected by the laws, and they are not going to leave their country, they've got life here and all, they are not going to serve deport. But that's where government should come in. Look at what happened in the city of Thekwini during the course of this week, where foreign nationals, they protested and slept at the front of the police station in Thekwini to demand protection from the police. Mm. We're already sitting with strained police officials.
So,
And now there's a more burden to can protect them. Then they marched to the United Nations office in Durban to ask for protection from South Africans who are pushing them. We are still fortunate as a nation that this thing hasn't spilled into violence, which we don't want it to happen. And it must not be seen as Afrophobic, because it's generally including people from Pakistan, Bangladesh, and all that. I think we should encourage our people to remain within the boundaries of the law, never go into violence. They've given these people up to the 30th of June to leave the country.
So what's going to happen?
So the question is, what's going to happen if they don't leave?
Mm.
So they're going to make public arrests. They say they're going to start going house by house, hotel by hotel, and start demanding
papers.
And okay. So you see what's going on now. The citizens of South Africa are doing what immigration inspectors were supposed to be doing.
Mm.
But we don't have that practice and that record whereby when we have asylum seekers or immigrants who came to South Africa for whatever reason, to track where they are. The system, even if it highlights that Mr. X was supposed to have left after 90 days and Mr. X hasn't exited the country. Mm. Therefore, where is Mr. X? So imagine over 10 million people who are illegal in this country, government is going to start looking for those people.
Mm.
So it's a very big challenge that's coming before us. I'm praying that it should not be limited to African people only, and it should not result into violence.
Mm.
But this is where the government should start listening to people. This is no longer in KwaZulu-Natal, eThekwini. It has spread to Gauteng, it has spread to the Eastern Cape, it will go to the Northwest and other provinces. So I think the state should start moving swiftly and engaging within the boundaries of the law with the foreign nationals who are here illegal and ask them to actually get documents. You know, it's very difficult also, Fresh. I hear people always say undocumented foreign nationals. What is undocumented? Does it mean you are here without a visa or a passport or a permit? Now, an asylum seeker will not have documents.
Mm.
The only document you will have as an asylum seeker is a document that South Africa has granted you as a permit to say.
But then that is your documentation. Like, you
yes,
must get
that's
it
your documentation.
You
but I'm saying,
and
but
you,
until
and you must renew
approved,
it accordingly.
You must renew it accordingly. And until it's approved, which is a process, you don't apply today and you get it next week. It can take months.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of verifications that a person has to go through. We have to check as a nation that you are not a wanted criminal in your country. Because look at the number of cases of robberies, foreign nationals being found with armed cages in South Africa, and rapes and murders that are committed by foreign. I don't say South Africans don't commit crime. They are definitely. It is easy for the state to arrest, lock up, and track a South African who has committed crime if there's evidence of fingerprints or whatever, than an undocumented person. So it's a challenge for the state.
Mm.
But I think as a nation, we have been too lenient. We let this happen for a very long time, and it has gone out of hand. What we could call for is to call for non-violence. There's nothing. And so far, really, I must say, March on March and others, they've been non-violent. They've been having peaceful protests.
Mm.
And correctly so. You know, the people are actually demanding the state to say, this is our country. Can people be legal in our country? We're not even supposed to arrive there. We're not even supposed. The state is there to protect the boundaries and the people. Mm. And the country, there must be law and order in the country. Now, if the state is failing on law and order, what do you do? Do you create a vacuum where the people will take law into their own hands? But let me not just blame the state, Fresh. And I know people will not like me for this, but we must also tell the truth. I always say people who come here illegally, whether they cross Limpopo River or whatever river in the Free State from Lesotho, they are aided by corrupt civil servants.
Sure.
There's an immigration official there. There's a border management guard or official who's involved. There's a policeman who's involved. Mm. Even when they're already inside the country, they get arrested, they pay bribes at policemen, or they, you know, you will hear people in communities saying the police are on their payroll. Instead of police taking them to detention centers like Lindela, they get bribed and the police turn, you know, a blind eye. But us as human beings, us as citizens and residents and communities as well, these people are not living in some camp created for foreigners. They're living with us as society. Mm-hmm. They're living within our backyard rooms. They're running puzzle shops in our what do you call it, in our houses. And sure, I grew up almost like in Randfontein. We used to have the shop was about Bra Mama, understand, Bra Loss, Bra David. Those shops are occupied by, if it's not Somalis, it's Pakistanis or Bangladesh. Who made those shops, those places, that plaza, that backyard garage available to the foreign nations? It's us.
Mm.
And it's incentives. You can imagine a situation where a gogo at home is living alone. The children are in their suburbs. My mom is home. There's backyard rooms. And if she can sit there and say, I can make a little income by renting these rooms out to foreign nationals who are prepared to pay even double what residents pay. And that's the kind of situation and challenge we are faced with. So we are also accomplices to this challenge. And as then, because they are living, let's take a township like Soweto, you know, where Operation Tutula has been very strong, or Alexander. These foreign nationals, illegal and legal ones, are living in the with the community.
So
now the same community is complaining to say they are taking our jobs. They understand. Some have even complained they are taking our women. They are living with you.
Hey,
you gave them accommodation.
Mama Shabalala gave them space to operate.
Exactly.
And you're the ones who are buying from the very same people you're complaining being here in the first place.
Like I said, it's not like a refugee camp where they are cooking, selling, and living amongst each other. They are living with our government. And that's where our immigration law, as well as for asylum seekers, did not think of this situation, did not, you know, expect that the situation would be like this, because we give people asylum and we're like, okay, get into the country. Where do you stay, Opanda guy? Where, who do you live with, township, with city? What? We don't have control over that. And that's where the government has failed as well. But we aided the situation.
So Action, SA's Mashaba, Tshwane MMC, structures have shared platforms with March and March.
Yes.
Surely this was going to work out for them when it comes to the polls in November, on November the 4th.
It will definitely work out for them, because remember, one of the cards that Action SA has put up is it's all, you know, undocumented illegal foreigners must leave the country. And Herman Mashaba is very clear with that.
He's been very vocal about
it. Yeah, he's very vocal, and he has been seen marching with March and March on March, as well as Operation Tutula. So it may be playing politics, but they have been consistent. From the time he was the mayor of Joburg, actually, under the Democratic Alliance in the past, and the coalition, they actually are going to be winning the support of those, because it's people on the ground. And with Action SA chasing the metros, because one of the things they've announced was that they are targeting metros in the country, because that's where the heartbeat of economies and power and safe service delivery is. So I think that's a strategic move for them.
Absolutely. But there's also been diplomatic backlash. I know Nigeria is somewhere in the South African High Commissioner.
Yes.
Ghana have lodged a protest. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Ghana had even chartered a flight for Ghanaian nationals who want to come back home.
Yes.
They were supposed to leave early Thursday morning. And reports say that less than a handful showed up.
Yeah.
Because they're not ready to go home.
Yes, yes.
Because they built a life here.
I also think, I don't know why did the Nigerian government called in the South African High Commissioner.
Because they want answers.
But they are ambassador, the ambassador of Nigeria, the High Commissioner of Nigeria.
Yes.
Had a media briefing about a week ago or two to make it clear that not even a single Nigerian has been reported to have been attacked in South Africa.
Yes.
There's not been any violence, physical. They don't have records.
And sadly, on the internet, there's a clip doing the rounds of March and March Toy Toyas. And that has been allowed to become the narrative that black South Africans are attacking foreigners.
Yeah.
And nobody's bothering to talk about the nuances of said march. That is not a blanket, we hate foreigners, we're going to kill foreigners, foreigners must leave.
Yes, yes.
It's been very, very clear and very, very nuanced. If you are undocumented, please go home and come back documented. And I don't think it's a tall ask
for
any nation to say, you're welcome here, but can you use the front door and not the back door?
Exactly, exactly.
There's nothing unusual about it. But sadly, the narrative of xenophobia has been allowed to flourish and almost drown out the nuance of the thing. And that the thing is about lawlessness.
Lawlessness, yeah. And also, Fresh, even those who are here legally, you must respect the rules of your host. The ambassador of Ghana, the president of Ghana, to go to the AU the last time and lament about this whole thing, to say he tabled a motion to say South Africa is pushing African brothers out of South Africa and all that. That was very silly of him to do that. And the embassy of Ghana, they should be able to tell the truth. They, in their own countries, I'm looking at how Zimbabwean and Nigerian nationals confront South African police services for whatever reason, whether there's searches or dramas or whatever. They will never do that in their own countries. Never. A Zimbabwean national, and I've traveled to Zimbabwe several times, will never raise their voice towards a policeman in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
There's law, there's enforcement, there's order. They respect men in uniform.
But there's also a jackboot approach to these things.
But here, because of the human rights, because of police are afraid of IP and what, they even shove and push police. We have seen people beating up police.
And unfortunately, if you're beating up an officer of the law, it should be seen as an attack on the country.
It should be an attack on the state. Yes.
On the state.
Yes.
And it should never be tolerated. You must never feel you can go to another country and attack an officer of the law.
Exactly.
Ever.
Exactly.
The fact that you are that emboldened already speaks to what some people are saying, that you can't come to my yard and poo where you want.
Exactly. Exactly. And look, it's going to be a challenge, but I just pray and hope that the government will hit what the people are saying. Because the system the government has been using, capturing a few people, deporting them, then they come back, it's not working.
Surely, the different countries also have a responsibility. If you're busy issuing statements and travel advisories to your people to say, if you are in any country illegally, come back home and leave properly. Have any of the embassies done that?
None.
Because it's almost like you're ignoring the elephant in the room.
Yes.
And you're saying it's okay to go to another country and be lawless. And, you know, it's similar to what a lot of people have said about, it's not in the interest of a lot of these countries to stop their people from leaving illegally and coming here. Because the money is going home.
Yes.
So it's actually not in their interest.
Yes.
It's not in their interest to interfere with all the Mpesas and the Western Unions, because the money is, it's a one-way trip.
It's a one-way trip, yes. They're making money, they're making business legally or illegally, the money is going back home, but it's also reducing the burden.
Yes.
Of social burden away from their own governments.
I have less people to look after.
Absolutely.
If you're not in the country.
Now our social responsibility kitty, it's burdened because there's issues of spaces at schools, clinics, hospitals, and all that.
But it goes back to then, surely between ministers, you should be having conversations where Minister Motsoaledi will say to the government of whichever country, we treated 1,000 of your nationals this month. Here's the bill.
You have raised this several times. You spoke about to say, if we start doing that, maybe these countries, even to their embassies,
yes,
we have to. There's so many residents or nationals of Ghana who went to our clinics.
Who are not documented.
Whether documented or not.
Yes.
That they are here and here's the bill. We treated them.
Yes.
Put in laws, put in restrictions that say they must have travel insurance, they must, if they are, you know, but the lament is going to be, if it's an asylum seeker, where do you expect them to have travel insurance? Because majority are lamenting asylum. Mm. They are not coming here to say, I want to work, or I want to stay, or I want to be a resident. Mm. They're all asylum seekers, even from places or countries where they are no war ravaged.
Yes, there's no persecution.
There's no persecution and all that. So that's a challenge. But look, Fresh, we created the problem, we must live with it.
Mm. And it doesn't help that some people will say to you, I want to regularize my stay, I've applied for asylum, or I've applied to extend my asylum, but the person I'm dealing with is demanding money.
It's demanding kickback, yes. Understand? The person over the counter is demanding kickback, and they've been used to doing that.
Yes.
They've been paying that, and they've been, now we invite your family, your friends, your neighbors back home, to say, no, in South Africa, you can stay as long. I've been here for 3 years. Mm. All you do is to give a boat, I'm behind the counter of government office, some 3,000 rands, then he extends this thing. So those are the things that I'm saying, we must tighten them.
Mm.
Jail the criminals within the government system who are abiding or aiding illegal people to win the country. Mm. And sometimes, Fresh, putting people's faces in a public face, you know, exposing them, it helps. It goes to a bigger extent. If there are cases at Home Affairs or the police who are corrupt, and aiding foreign nationals to be here illegally, we should actually put those civil servants in a public platform to say, these are the people who have been creating this problem. Mm-hmm. We should know them.
Yeah, similar
it will
to...
also be a deterrent to those who are thinking of doing that or who are doing it to stop now.
Yeah, so these are the people who are selling your country.
Exactly. We should be able to expose them.
Mm.
But sentence them to jail, you know, because anything that could result treason, the jail term should be very harsh. It should be seen not you are selling passports, therefore you have been given or work permits or resident permit or IDs, then you are sentenced to 3 years in jail. That's not harsh enough, because what you have done is treasonous in my books.
Sure.
And the sentence must be harsher.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mafikeng quickly, to Lumanyaneng. There is a activist, Yako Mahikeng, Thato Senganga Mulusankwe. He was assassinated a couple of days ago. He's well known in the Mahikeng community as a vocal campaigner against gender-based violence, child abuse, corruption, and the dominance of foreign-owned businesses in the area.
Yes.
He's been assassinated. Already there's talk of he might have been taken out by... some foreign nationals who feel that you're making noise and you're attracting attention to us.
It's sad, you know. Tato was an activist, Fresh, and he loved these people.
Yes.
For me, I saw a man who loved the people of Mahikeng, and he was very selfless. You know, this guy used to donate personally school shoes, clothing for, you know, poor kids. He used to have what they called in winter soup kitchens for Hokogo.
Yes.
Will cook and elders must come. And you take that activist, that leader of a society out with 5 bullets, blend in his house. You can see how brazen and brutal these people are. For telling the truth, he was also talking against government corruption a lot.
Yes.
He would expose a lot of corruption cases. He had even cases in court where he was given information by some official or politician to say this one is corrupt. So when they started fighting each other, they will leak information to him to take cases up. And the heat may have come from any angle or side.
I was going to say the unfortunate thing when you have stepped on so many toes with your activism is it almost becomes impossible to pinpoint where it could have come from.
Exactly.
And the brazenness of it could be capitalizing on that.
Indeed, yeah.
That if you've upset 5 different...
groups of people.
Of people, we're hoping that... they'll go sniff at that tree and not this tree.
Yes, understand. So that's a challenge. But yeah, may Tato's soul rest in peace. Look, we should use the same methods that we used during the liberation struggle, that if you take one of us down, 10 of us must rise.
Yeah.
That's the only way we'll sort out this, our society and our nation. Mm. Understand? For there must be other 10 or 50 Tatos
yes.
that come out of Mafikeng and say, we will defend our city, we'll rebuild our city, we'll clean our city.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of these assassinations are also a loud and clear message to future activists and future whistleblowers
mm.
that if you don't sit in your corner and shut up, you're next.
Fresh. We saw it this week.
Mm.
Where a prosecutor and a magistrate, they could not preside over a case of an alleged person, mm. alleged killer or murderer.
No, but the mm. prosecutor had said to the magistrate the week before, mm. I won't make it on the... You know, I don't understand why the prosecutor MPA. Is... The prosecutor's catching the smoke that he's catching.
Yeah,
when there's a clip of him saying, I can't make this date.
And why did the NPA not handle their media challenge? Yes. Understand? Mm. Why did the NPA say, this Portuguese must come and explain himself? He told the magistrate, he reported to the magistrate in that court.
And having said, I can't make it next week, why yes. was someone else not sent in?
Exactly. Why not send an alternative one? You know, actually, when the media and social media made noise about this on our group, I wrote to I said, why doesn't... my two favorite women in law,
mm.
Justice Mamu Maya and Minister Mamoloko, let them go and preside over this case and take the head of NPA. Because mm. the social media is simply saying, hey, they are fearing and there are nobody's mm. comfortable in sitting on this mm. thing. We cannot run a country like that. But I'm responding to what you are saying when mm. you say, killing people, intimidating people, and it's sending a message
yes.
to those who...
No, it's a warning shot. It's a warning shot to anyone
work.
Else.
Yeah, yeah.
That don't catch the smoke.
Yeah, you understand? Because we'll come for you.
Mm.
Understand? Now there will be hard-hearted people, hard-headed as well, who will say, I don't care, I'm prepared to die, but I'm going to stand up for the truth. However, mm. intimidating, murdering, and threatening civil servants... or law enforcers to do their job is becoming a big problem in the Republic of South Africa, a very serious problem.
Sure.
And civil servants, even people who are not law enforcers, accountants, auditors, you know, auditors are at risk in doing their jobs. But yeah, let's hope the government will be able to contain this
sure.
with the help of the communities and the people.
Mm. Do you think organized crime has reached... that the horse has bolted so much that there's no way you can put it back in the stable?
No, I think, Fresh, if you see
Why should we think we're special when organized crime has run things in most countries
yes,
for the longest
yeah,
time?
Yeah.
Why should we think we're special?
I think it's entrenched. You use bolted. It is, but I think it can be dismantled.
Mm.
Not absolutely. But I think there can be cracks that happens there. You know the proposal that was around to say the type of the PKK, what? PTTK,
mm.
The political killing task team. That kind of a task team spread all over the country to deal with organized crime. And I think the exposure of the Madlanga Commission, the ADO Committee, as well as well, the arrest of some senior police people is going to help the situation, because for organized crime to happen, you have to have law enforcers in mm. there. You have to have police.
The whole value chain has
the
to
whole
be
value chain.
In the thing.
So should we squeeze and tighten where we can as mm. government, the police, prosecuting authority, the judiciary, it will aid in the situation.
Sure.
The same as look at how artisanal miners, so-called Zamazamas. If we regulate and we what do you call it, we incentivize them, they will guard their business jealousy, mm. those who are regulated. You understand? They will guard their trade or business jealously. It will help the situation. So sometimes you just have to tighten the laws and enforce the law. You know, organized crime is also dangerous because there's a lot of murder and killing happening there. It's not just corruption and robberies and drug selling. There's always murder that goes with it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
So about 3 days ago,
yes,
Mahlengi Bengu put out a statement that on paper reads like a revolution. The ANC has opened public nominations for its mayoral candidates in the 2026 LGE, 8 metros, 22 secondary cities and towns. Any South African card or no card can nominate or self-nominate, 6 election channels in total, branches via PECs and RECs, alliance partners, COSATU, SANCO, Contralesa, the 4 leagues, and now you, Joe Public.
Yeah.
The top 7 make the final call. Mm. Let's talk about this.
I don't know, Fresh. Look, the Democrat ANC, their president once said they must learn. Municipalities must learn from the DA. Remember that?
Yes, the best ones that are working.
That are working.
Go find out how yeah. they're doing this.
The DA has been doing that, by the way.
Yes.
To contest position. And one of the conditions, I see the ANC has put it as well, is that once you are selected or you are a successful applicant, let's call them applicants, you will have to take up the ANC membership.
So someone is going to ask, are the ANC saying that within our ranks, we don't know that we've got the right people?
I actually was that was the first thing that came into my mind. Mm. I think the ANC, there's 2 things. I think they are trying to rebuild the confidence in the communities or the people.
Okay.
To say we are still, we'll work with you.
Okay.
Come, bring representatives of communities and people.
Sure.
That's the first thing they're trying
to do. Okay, so it could be a stroke of genius then.
Look. People may sympathize with them after they nominate and announce to say, oh, at least now we are going to be voting for Mayor Botsang.
Yes.
We trust him. He's never been corrupt and we know he can work. And I said, so that's me selling myself. Then the next step is you will have to take the ANC membership. I was asking myself, what if you belong to another political party already?
Mm.
And you are successful, then you declare you.
No, but Akere, if you are in the top 7 of the nominees, obviously then you must
relinquish.
Take your colors and go to the mast there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's going to be that process. Will it help the ANC?
Is this a good move or a bad move?
50-50, Fresh. Mm. It's too late. It's also saying to them, they just elected, let me make an example. A few months back, they elected Loiso. To be the chairperson.
In fact, the Mail and Guardian are already reporting the ANC is backing the Joburg MMC for Finance for the mayoral chain.
They are backing MMC for Finance.
Loiso.
Yeah, she's not a deputy mayor now.
Deputy mayor, yes.
She's, I think, having both positions. Yes. Look, she has to apply. What the ANC is saying is that she must apply now.
With everyone else.
Automatic choice. With everybody
so
else.
She must join the queue like everyone else.
She must join the queue as everybody else. What does it say? Why is ANC opening up for professionals or people from outside? Are they saying within the ranks of the organization, they don't trust their people? After so many years of being in power, didn't they groom people who could actually lead the organization, lead the metros or the municipalities? Are they saying that? Inside, amongst their ranks. And it could be a challenge. It's a bad move because what if I'm successful and I go there and I don't draw the party line? You know the old practice of you will draw the party line.
Yes.
You will vote. We will not vote against the president of the ANC. We will not go against the caucus of the ANC. But I'm coming clean. I've applied.
Doesn't this also almost set a precedent in terms of if you want to open this door... If you want to open this door, then you're almost saying at some stage, then it'll be a free-for-all in Jay outside of local government elections.
Yes. That's opening that.
That the statement that the SG made, Mbalula, that Patrice must join a branch and work his way up.
And work his way
that
up.
This then is saying that branch politics might be a thing of the past at some stage.
No, but they will still need branches in order to can manage these processes.
Yes.
And again, you know, I
no,
don't...
No, but for instance, if I'm able to self-nominate or self-parachute...
Yes.
Already I'm going over the heads of people who feel that we've been waiting our
time. We've been waiting, yeah.
That we've been in the trenches.
Yeah.
Where were you when we were bleeding?
When we were building this movement.
When we were bleeding.
We've been on the queue.
And fearing disappearing.
Yes. Wow, it's going to create. It's going to create that problem.
Yes,
and it may backfire. Actually, that the people who have been in the branches and they are going, they're waiting on the queue to be take over political positions. Remember, they campaigned to be elected branch leaders. They campaigned to be elected regional leaders. Now, who elected them is the people in the society that they've built confidence in them. So they may lose those voters. Who, again, let's use Loiso. The people who begged Loiso to beat Dada Morero on Joburg region elections, they may say, but we have put our person there within the constitution of the organization, and now you want to bring a Botsang to come ahead of Loiso, a Botsang who's not even a card-carrying member of the ANC. What happens to the ANC? One of the things that I know very well from the constitution of the ANC is that to be in a leadership position in the ANC, you must have served for being a member for at least 5 years. What happened to that rule? Did they amend their constitution? You understand? It's going to really backfire. It may help the organization to look nice outside with recruited professionals, if only professionals will succeed. But it's not even saying professionals. Says anybody who wants to come and apply, whether you are a pastor, teacher, or you're just sitting at home like Botsang, you don't have any work to do, apply. And if you are successful through the interview, again, who's going to be conducting interviews? They say through the branches. So I'm a branch chairperson of the ANC in Midrand. Now I must go and interview somebody who's going to contest me or who's going to take over my position. Do you think that will happen practically? Think of it.
Isn't this also, I guess, you could still have a Trojan horse even without the system. But are you also not opening yourself up to Trojan horses?
Yes.
Who might want to infiltrate and work from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just joining a branch, you could still be a...
Yeah, but the branch, you've got veterans there. You've got stalwarts, people who have been in the organization.
Sure.
Who know who is who in the community. Understand? So, look... People are saying it is democratic, it's opening itself up. But we know in any situation in life, when you open yourself up, you also open yourself up for risks.
The minute you open the door to good, bad also comes in.
Bad also comes in, But we'll see how it goes. It's going to be very interesting how the ANC is going to navigate this process. They should have said internally, not outside, the ANC has good people inside the ANC. And I would sit there and say majority of the people that I know, for example, inside the ANC, majority of them, they are good people, they are capable people. They should have said we are opening for... So if you are a branch chair, you are not automatically going to be their delegate for mayorship, for example. They should have kept it internally for those who are loyal to the organization and let them contest each other. Than to open even for everybody. Is it a sign that they've lost faith and confidence in their leaders or members? Is it a sign that they are losing membership and they are trying to lay people who probably didn't make it in their other organization? You know, it politics are very... I don't know what I'm talking about because I've just put myself into that. You know, I was looking at Penny Penny. That Penny Penny resigning from controversies, a party, parliament, and the organization. And on Wednesday evening, he was unveiled as the mayoral candidate for the Greater Giyani by Maibuya Africa of Fred Shivambo. Understand? Fresh, should I become that, my brother, you must pull me out of politics. Should I start changing my stance, position, and principle because of I've tasted the political power?
But you know what? It's easy to complain about a system until you're in the system and then you become the system.
I promise my family, friends, lovers, supporters, I'm very principled.
Sure.
If I don't believe in something, if I can't change it, I walk away.
Sure.
That's me. I walk away. I've belonged to a party. I've led the political party. I was at the formation of EFF. I even refused to be a branch chair.
Sure.
When it was launched, I had more. Everybody was shocked when I declined.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. In Tshwane at that time, I refused. I declined because
yeah.
I didn't see myself as a politician.
Mm.
And when I realized that, no, man, this thing of being inside the political party is not for me, I withdrew.
Mm.
I left.
Mm.
I raised my issues with the then chairperson, Dali Mpofu. Never listened to. I'm like, I'm walking.
That's why I've often lamented the fact that I don't know that I'll do well in politics. Because often I'd rather go according to my conscience or what my intuition tells me. But unfortunately, in politics, you must toe the party line. So if there's a party that's willing to, yes, we have a party line, but we're open to you following your conscience, I will join that party immediately.
Yeah, no, that's in 2 hours. That will be the line I've asked to say, this is what I'm going to do.
Yes.
This is what I'm going to do, and this is how it's going to be done. I don't change principles.
Mm.
Respect the party line, but if the party line is not aligned to my conscience, we are going to have a problem.
But me, I know you. You are a staunch Pan-Africanist.
Absolutely.
You are a staunch Sankarist.
Yeah.
If you're going to get into politics,
yes,
and there's a blue light there, and bodyguards.
Fresh. Ask me next week.
And a nice fat salad. What are you going to do?
No, it's so funny. Actually, one of the things I was thinking about...
Actually, forget the nice fat salary.
Yeah.
Generally, politicians generally.
They don't earn a lot of money.
At the lower...
Yes. Yeah. No, actually, that's one of the things...
That's why a lot of you are so corruptible. Because you are earning peanuts, and then you're told, manage this peanut farm.
Fresh, do you know that the position I'll be standing for?
Yes.
The salary is half of what I was earning at work.
Yes.
Half.
Mm.
And I'm asking myself, what nonsense is this?
Mm.
Well, what am I going there for? Then I remember not going in for income or career.
It's for the country.
It's for the country. King it's for and saving. Country. Yes.
It's for king and country.
Yeah. No. And
unfortunately, a lot of people will have you believe that they're doing this for the people, for the community, for king and country. But it's for opportunities to self-enrich friends and family. And many will argue, I did not fight Maburu to struggle.
As a leader of the then September National in Bizo, which became the BLF after, we introduced the Sankara Oath into the EFF. It was part of the founding manifesto of the EFF as a Sankara Oath. That's why if you recall in 2014, when EFF came into parliament, there was that drama of them in overalls in parliament, and they refused to eat the food in parliament to go and buy a Magwenya and Bohobe go starting in Cape Town, and they didn't eat food in parliament. But that stopped over time. Because they were rather riot to say, no, but this is budgeted for. And you know what I said to them?
And also, it stops being practical to have to leave
to
and
leave,
get food and come back.
But you know what I said when they did that? And they like, you're going to get us in trouble. I said, take the food.
Mm.
Go and feed the people in the street.
Exactly.
Take the food that you are being given free as MPs. Mm. Go out on the street and feed the people.
Yes.
That lasted 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And then what happened to the Sankara Oath? It went through out the window.
Mm.
But look, I'm going to stick to that.
Mm.
I will have to find a way and navigate along the line. I know some politicians who are not into glitz and glamour. They're, even in the ANC, I know politicians who are there. You can see people who are there to serve.
Sure.
They focus on working.
Let's move to Action SA and the MMC by profession play.
Yes.
Yeah, Brahemen. Brahemen has been telegraphing this for months. And the Action SA Joburg mayoral candidate has said publicly that within 60 to 90 days of taking office, his mayoral committee will be built around skill and not the slate. Finance MMC must be have a strong financial background. Infrastructure MMC must have be an ethical engineer. Social development MMC must have lived community experience. He's also said he'd dissolve City Power, Joburg Water and JRA boards and report executive directors instead directly to the city mayor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Look, he tried that when he was a mayor for 3 years, 2016 to 2019. Mm. It was something he had on the pipeline. But I think professionalizing, if there's a word like that, the political positions, it's a good trump card for him. I think it's going to work to his advantage. And the fact that he's doing it before the elections,
yes,
understand? He's not announcing his candidates or those that will be holding his hands after they win the election, announcing them before, the people are going to be looking and digging and finding out who is Mrs. J, who is this chartered accountant, who is this lawyer, who is this police official that Tatema Chaba has recruited into professional positions, who are they in the society, and what is their, you know, background. I think it's going to work for to his advantage. But also, I'm one of the people who have been saying, let us appoint. Remember, MMCs are like ministers, you know, to the mayor,
sure.
MECs to the premier and all that. They are like a cabinet of a local government. And I'm one of the people who have been saying, let us elect political office bearers or choose political office bearers who are experts in the field. They will have an understanding. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Nkosana Dlamini Zuma, in health, we know she did well. Not to say in other portfolios she didn't do well. Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, we can see what she's doing in health. Not to say she didn't do well at Home Affairs. And many other people who are experts in those fields. And it helps to have an expert who will have an understanding, because you are a politician, you are an executive politician, but you will have a clear understanding. Let me make an example. If you are the MMC of structure, what do you call it, the civil engineer, and if you take a civil engineer and you put them as the MMC to look at structures and buildings politically in the city, that person will have a better understanding when civil engineers and builders and other people approach his office.
They'll have a better understanding of why it's important that infrastructure is looked after.
Exactly.
And that is maintained, prevent certain things rather than wait for them to happen.
To happen, yes. And I think it will aid, it will run the organization professionally. You know the other thing about him and Mashaba also, that I think it helps Action SA, is that he's not a politician. He's a businessman who formed a political party and has been sitting in his business offices to run the political party and not interfere with those that he had deployed into government. Except he wants to finish his, he calls it what? An unfinished business in Joburg.
You know the problem is though, Joburg, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni after November 4 will most certainly be hung.
Yeah.
And it's all good to promise an engineer at infrastructure.
Mm.
But you can't do that when you need 3 votes from so-and-so, 5 votes from so-and-so, and they also want infrastructure.
That's where negotiations come in
with
political parties. I think if you don't want a lot of disruption and you are going into a coalition, it will be easier if one party like the ANC did nationally.
Yes.
You have 40% plus. Né? Let's say you didn't make 51. You have 40 plus. Then you go and you negotiate with one or two parties only that has the bigger number. Then there's not a lot of negotiations happening. Unlike when you've got a multi-party government and then you have to negotiate with 6 or 7 political parties, it becomes a problem because everybody will want a chunk. And it's going to be more of a problem in local government because if people go there for positions, you only have 10 mayoral committee members. That's all. And while the national cabinet has over 30 ministers and deputy ministers. So it was easy for President Ramaphosa to extend an olive branch to these political parties that help the ANC to remain in power. It was very easy. It's going to be very difficult in metros. But we do see metros that function. If you look at City of Tshwane, it's a coalition between the EFF, Action SA, and ANC. But it's a well-oiled machinery. You understand? As much as Herman Mashaba had vowed that he will never work with the ANC ever, But I think putting your ego aside and thinking for the residents of Tshwane and saying to your deploy there, Dr. Nasipi Moya, go and talk to Bo Obakeng in the EFF, go and talk to Bo so-and-so in the ANC and work together for the benefit of the people of Tshwane. It's working. We have one metro in this country where it's a coalition with a mayor from Action SA, And various MMC, you know, from ANC and EFF, and it's working.
Sure.
And it can work if people are level-headed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's move to the coalitions bill.
Yes.
So Minister Hlabisa has tabled his Kohta budget vote in the National Assembly. It happened 2 days ago.
Yes.
The headline, he's promising the Municipal Structures Amendment Bill, the so-called coalition bill, will be enforced by the November polls. The aim, in his words, is to stop fragile coalitions from collapsing every 6 months at the cost of service delivery. Parties will be required to enter into formal binding written coalition agreements. The review of the 1998 white paper on local government is also complete. And the next phase is legislative reform to give it teeth.
Yeah.
He's been aiming for March. He's been aiming for March.
Fresh.
For over a year.
You know what's my fear?
Mm.
Why bring it so late? It was already clear to us in the last local government elections 5 years back that most metros or municipalities, actually not only metros,
yes,
are hung on or are relying on coalition.
It was a given that that's where we're going. Yeah.
We should have worked on this legislation from that time and push it, because that legislation, it's a good legislation, it's a good proposal. They should have fast-tracked it. And we have done it in this country. We have passed laws in order to resolve problem. Look at how we tabled the call it Citizenship Act now, or bill. That was fast-tracked. Yes, it's been years dealing with it, but when it became necessary and there was pressure that let's fast-track this thing because there is something simmering, then we did that. This important bill should have long got momentum. Do I think it will go through before the 4th of November? I doubt it. It must still go through the National Council of Provinces. It must still be debated and public comments and all those things. It's a process. It's a and rushing things, we know they will backfire. People will go to the Constitutional Court. I know one of the parties that are opposed to it or that are questioning something is the Democratic Alliance. The government is engaged in the Democratic Alliance because they tabled such a proposal 3 years back. And they are standing very firm on their proposal as the Democratic Alliance towards the white paper on coalition government. But the country needs that.
Yes.
Once a white paper becomes law, it will be easy to can, because there's a legislative guideline to say how to form a coalition. And one of the things you mentioned or read is the agreement, a binding agreement between the political parties.
But what would be the consequences for breaking it? Do we have a re-election? Strong worded statement?
I
court orders?
I haven't read. And I hope they've put the T's and C's.
Yes.
Of if you break
exactly
what is the way forward?
Yes.
It can't just be hanging there. I haven't read the bill or the draft. What does it say? Maybe I must actually be my homework this weekend. Be one of the first things to prepare myself to go into coalition.
But also it's politics.
Yeah.
A lot of politicians have shown us that. It doesn't matter that I agreed to this.
But when there's a law, that compels you.
People are swearing oath and allegiance to the Constitution and they give it the middle finger all the time.
Yeah, that's why they lose cases in court. But not fresh. We need this law. We need a coalition. South Africa is in, and they should not only vote.
Do other countries have a coalition?
There's regulated, for example, I know in the Federal Republic of Germany, I don't know whether it's an act, but there's regulations on how parties that are co-governing, how they must conduct themselves. One of the biggest democracies in the world is India. And you know, parties there, it's not nice. It calls for elections. If there's a breakdown in relationship, they go for elections. That's why they can change a government 10 times in 1 year. I don't think it's a good thing. If you want to bring stability, don't call for elections. Let there be other ways of doing it. The agreement must, I think what lawmakers should do, they should actually craft the agreement. You know, they must have a standard agreement that they've crafted for political parties. And it should be a working tool by a political party, not the parties to go and meet there and craft an agreement themselves. Let it be a state tool. Regulated by an act of parliament to say This is the standard contract that the parties will use.
Yes.
It will have the terms and the conditions, the do's and the don'ts. They must not leave it to political parties to go and craft the agreement. I think it will work if there's a guiding tool.
Absolutely.
I'm an administrator. Well, there's rules, regulations, and paper. Use what the law prescribes.
In closing.
Yes, sir.
Europe is exiting the aid business. The European Commission's midterm budget review confirms a 26% cut in development assistance to Africa and the Indian Ocean for 2025-2027. France has slashed another 700 million euro in 2026. Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium are following suit. The UK have dropped ODA to 0.3% of GDP. The US dismantled US aid under Trump. The OECD says ODA to sub-Saharan Africa fell by 23% in 2025 alone. The EU's pitch now a partnership of interest via global gateway investment and not aid. And countries doing business with Iran and Russia. Will possibly have to relook at those relationships if they still want to play with us.
You know, let me not be a diplomat on this one. They're former colonizers. They've been continuing to exploit and neo-colonize Africa through foreign aid. France's economy and success has been based on the French franc, which has been used as the formal currency in a number of former colonies of France. And the day the Sahel countries of Burkina Faso, Mali, and the other ones ditched the French franc, it started affecting the French economy. Chasing their mining companies out of Burkina Faso and Mali, it affected the French colony. The EU leaders have been amassing wealth from minerals from Africa, and they've been actually controlling African leaders by talking of foreign aid. Africa does not need aid, it needs leadership.
Yes.
If we had good leadership with the God-given natural resources we have, we can feed the world actually. The size of the continent by population, the size of the continent by square kilometer, the mineral wealth, the weather, the sun, the agriculture that we have as a continent, we can feed Africa and feed the world. What aid do we need? It was buying political parties. It was buying leaders who always have to go with a cap at hand to go and ask for money from former colonies. If they want to keep their money, let them take their money and leave us. Why do we want aid when we can actually refuse with our minerals? Almost each and every country fresh in Africa, out of all the 54 countries of this continent, each and everyone has some sort of minerals or anything. Even the tiny mountain kingdom, Lesotho, may not have diamonds, but they have Motekwane, they have Dakar.
Yes.
You understand? That it can be a booming trade because Dakar has become, you know, a business trade, whether for health or for what do you
hemp,
call it?
Hemp has become
the
new buzzword. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so Africa needs leaders who can stand up and have spines and say, EU, you can aid us, it's fine, you can donate, but in our terms and conditions. Now imagine a sovereign state like the Republic of South Africa being told by the UK that we must revisit our relations with Iran or Russia. Or else they will withdraw their trade. And the very same countries in the EU that are aiding Ukraine with arms and money to fight Russia, they are behind the scenes buying gas from Russia.
Buying gas from Russia, yes. Especially in winter.
Now you want to tell us...
Can we discuss the double standard, though?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to say, we're not going to give you aid, or maybe possibly even we're not going to trade with you unless you stop being friends with these two people here, who is a bigger threat to our existence on this planet, an Iran or an America?
It's America.
Who extrajudicially go into countries, yes, and arrest people. Cuba's probably next.
Yes.
They're probably going to go for...
the former president.
The younger Castro.
Raul Castro.
Raul Castro. And the argument is that because two planes were downed and American lives were...
Three American lives were lost.
Yes, then others in indictment. Mm. And chances are they will go into Cuba. It's bad enough that they're starving Cubans.
Yes.
There's a blockade right now. Now they're going to go for Raul.
Yes.
Who's a bigger threat to world peace right now, in Iran or in America?
It's the United States of America and the EU with its double standards, because they are not aiding financially America, but they are trading with the USA, they are trading with Israel. And we are sitting in a situation where the prime minister of Israel and the head of the military or the Israel Defense Force there, they are wanted criminals.
Yes.
You understand? They've been declared as murderers and criminals by an international court that the same EU is funding that court. The establishment of the ICC and ICJ was spearheaded by the EU. They are funding it big time. It has been prosecuting African leaders and other leaders from East Europe and none from the West. And now they want to come and tell us that we should revisit our relationship as African countries with Iran and Russia. When they are keeping their relationship with Israel, let them start with themselves.
Mm.
Not even America.
Sure.
The EU itself must look at the mirror and say, we are friends with Israel.
Mm.
We are actually harboring murderers and terrorists of Israel in our own countries, who are Mossad people and spying on other countries. They're all over Europe. They're killing people all over the world. And the EU is harboring them. It's aiding them. It's trading with Israel. And they want to come and tell us as a nation that we or a continent that we should revisit our relations with Russia and Iran. And this will make people to start quoting history.
Mm.
During our liberation struggle as African countries, from Cape to Cairo, all over, during our liberation struggle, Russia never colonized any country in this continent.
Mm.
It was actually Russia that sent the young Vladimir Putin that time to come and train Aplomb, Controversies, ZANU, and all other combatants in the continent.
In fact, remember Madiba famously said when he went on his whirlwind tour of the US that you can't tell us who to be friends with and not to be friends with.
Yes.
Because when your governments were propping up apartheid South Africa and refusing to impose sanctions, and the Reagan administration turned the other eye, it was the Cubans who came to our rescue. It was the Russians who came to our rescue.
Exactly.
And now you want to dictate to us who to be friends with.
And also, even if we don't look at history, we look at current affairs. What is it that says to Europe, we should not be friends with Russia because Russia is engaged into a war with Ukraine? Where do we fit? Israel is engaged with murder and genocide with Palestine. Now it's the USA, Israel against Iran. Now you want us to stop being friends with the victim.
Mm.
That's what they are saying, because in this war of Iran, that has bankrupted our pockets. The victim is Iran. Iran was attacked.
Mm.
The perpetrator and there was a deal, Israel and the US.
And there was a deal in place that was painstakingly negotiated over 3 years by the Obama administration.
Yes.
That you...
It was on the table.
That you literally tore it apart. Yeah. And now you want to renegotiate. There was a deal already in place.
You know the divided Africa is actually our curse, because if our leaders were united, we will share the minerals of these countries to enrich Africa. What Gaddafi proposed and he was killed for.
Yes.
And then if African, we just need leaders who can say, the fisheries of Namibia will feed the people of SADC. The golds and diamonds of South Africa and Botswana will feed the people of Sudan. We are sitting fresh in a situation. I wrote a piece this week about the South Africa oil trade. No?
Where can we find this piece?
Didn't I share it with you? It's on my page. We get our oil 15% from Angola. About 8% from Angola, about 15% from Nigeria. Nigeria is our biggest supplier of oil, fresh. Why did we not have our oil from Angola and Nigeria 80%?
Yes.
Why do we still get some oil from the USA or from the United Arab Emirates?
Because you must keep doors open, you see. You must keep trade doors open.
But why are we not getting the majority of our oil from these two African states, it would have been cheaper. You know, I broke it down there that it's mainly because, and I was responding to somebody who was saying, but why is it this not there? Why is things cheaper, water, food, oil, petrol in Angola? They have the oil. So why are we not getting our oil from Angola so that we can get it faster and cheaper, because Angola is just next door? It is because of the EU and the USA dictating to us who to trade with. It is because of the EU and the USA to say, you cannot buy all your oil from your friends or brothers in Nigeria while we are here. We have some oil that we are stealing from Venezuela. You must buy from us. So we become accomplices as a nation to this because we are scared of the big brother.
Yeah.
You know, earlier on, Trevor was reminding me when we came into the show that, by the way, it's exactly 1 year. It's the anniversary of the famous visit to the White House by President Ramaphosa and the golfers. It's 1 year. What has happened since that time? What fruit? Except that we have Rolf Meyer. His suitcases are ready to go to Washington to be our ambassador.
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. He's waiting. I think it's supposed to be in...
1st June.
Presenting of credentials this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I was not even aware. You know, but what has happened? What have we benefited? Yes, somebody may say the AGOA has been extended with a few more months. Understand? We are still benefiting from AGOA. But we must start being realistic about what is our benefit for having relations with some countries. You know that old joke of the age of a woman compared to, what do you call it, compared to a country. Europe is a dead body. Europe is dead. They dependent on colonialism and exploiting countries they colonized. That's why the former Queen of England even formed an organization called the Commonwealth in order to continue to manage Africans. We elect leaders who report to the king now, Charles. We elect leaders democratically so who go and report to the queens and the kings of the former colonies before they do their work here. When we had our own kings and queens, I mean, look at the Mountain Kingdom of Lesotho. They've got King Letsie the Third, great grandchild of the founding father King Moshoeshoe. But they still, when the king or the prime minister comes into office, they still go to England. You know that agreement is still standing. That they must still go to England to present credentials to be recognized as the king of Basotho, by king of England. I would have never done that. I would have never done that. You know, my
because at some stage, enough must be enough.
Yes. When are you cutting the line? When is Basotho going to tell the king or the queen of England that we are not coming there? We are not. We are Africans. Why should I go to England to report to Morena Charles?
Yeah.
You understand? So we lack pride as African people. And people are saying, you are talking simple on the comfort chair of a podcast. In reality, they will choke your economy. It's fine. Then I will look for friends who are not going to choke my economy. There's many countries in the world. Look for friends somewhere. And that's the challenge. We do not have leaders in this continent who have guts to stand up like the president of Namibia.
But anyone and everyone that's ever tried to stand up has been assassinated, killed, eliminated. It's only until X amount of time before you're removed, because you're a problem for the system.
If you take,
because the system needs Africa to be dependent.
If you take a political position, be prepared to die.
Yes.
That's it. That's number one.
Yeah.
It's like when you get into a battlefield, you may come back with a bag. Not working. You must be prepared to die. That's how politics are, unfortunately. You just signed, you know, your death. I signed mine last week, my death wish or death warrant. And to get into a dirty game. That's unfortunately, if you want to fix things and you want to be an active politician, you must know the risks that come with it.
Yes.
So that's the challenge, unfortunately. That's how the world is like. I must not chicken out. I'm saying to the people of South Africa, you should be addressing me differently from Monday Fresh. But yeah, let the EU take their paper. They've passed, they had a meeting during the week. Let them take their paper. Let African Union meet and reject this intimidation collectively by the EU. Because it's intimidation.
Sure.
It's intimidating. What did Iran do to us?
Yeah.
What did Russia do to us? That we are being told by the former colonizers. They even have a knife. These are the people who, the King Leopold killed people in the DRC, the French who killed people all over for African minerals, the British who colonized us, the Dutch who took over this country, you know, when they arrived there, and they were, and Russia helped us to push them out, to liberate ourselves. Now you want to tell me that Kimujikele, how we are in a classy way. I must turn against the man who helped me to arrive where I am just because you are not in good terms with that man. So your enemy must be my enemy. So you are even telling my friend to be my enemy. And we are not condoning Fresh. We are not condoning Russia occupation of Ukraine. We are not saying that. Let them sort themselves out there. Don't drag us into that.
All we're saying is let there not be a double standard.
Yes.
Don't tell me not to be friends with X when you're friends with Y, who's also found wanting.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly, bro.
And it's not a tall ask. No. And in fact, in good African news, Namibia finally repaid its outstanding international monetary fund debt, bringing its balance to zero. This was an emergency loan taken during the COVID-19 pandemic.
That's leadership.
So shout out to Namibia. In fact, this follows a record $750 million euro bond repayment made late last year, which was the largest single-day debt maturity in the nation's history. Namibia's prepared for the large euro bond by utilizing a dedicated sinking fund over a 10-year period. And by exiting active IMF loan conditions, Namibia joins other countries like Botswana and Mauritius in operating with zero outstanding credit to the fund. So shout out to President Ntaitwa. We see you.
It's doable.
Yeah.
This woman has been in office less than a year. Less than a year, Fresh. It's doable. You know what they call Namibians? The land of the brave.
Yeah.
That's bravery. A debt, it's a problem.
Yeah.
We are still in the middle of, we have exhausted our borrowing package from IMF and the World Bank. Now I saw President Ramaphosa is asking France to borrow us money. France out of all. France out of all. And we are borrowing, instead of using our minerals to can have money.
As leverage.
Yes, as leverage. We are borrowing. And this mandate we are borrowing, we don't even, the economy is shrinking. Unemployment is rising. Now, when you borrow, what are we doing with that money that is supposed to be stimulating and helping the economy? Things are getting worse, but we are borrowing.
And we, isn't the city of Joburg about to borrow from a German bank? I think they have an infrastructure development loan facility.
Loan facility, yes.
And I think it's the city of Joburg.
You are not paying your rates in Joburg. That's the problem.
We are half the problem. And, you know, often we'll blame the city of Joburg, but we're complicit in the whole mess.
Yeah.
We're bridging electricity. We're connecting water illegally. We're not paying for the electricity that we are stealing. Even those that are not stealing electricity, they're not paying for the electricity they're using.
Yes. The city is bankrupt.
And because there's also an entitlement built into the whole thing, how do you expect the city to function if we're taking but giving nothing back into the system? It doesn't make sense.
The people will argue that there's unemployment, they don't have money to pay.
But you're not entitled to anything that you can't pay for, unfortunately.
Yeah, no. That's the problem.
Water, I understand, is a basic human right. Unfortunately, electricity isn't.
Yeah. So it's a challenge. There's problem of the economy shrinking. There's corruption and maladministration, because corruption and maladministration, they are contributing to what is happening in the country.
Yes.
And there's us as consumers or residents or citizens who are not coming to the party and playing our role as well. So it's like teaching your children that if they waste in the house, they will one day wake up and suffer. If they abuse electricity, one day we will wake up and we don't have units left in electricity. But it's very difficult also for us to go and conscientize a society. That was one of the mistakes we did as a nation after the liberation movement. Remember, we were trained and brought up to be anti-government.
Mm.
Government is an enemy. So whatever belongs to government is wrong, even if it belongs to us.
Mm.
And we didn't go through political confrontation after 1994.
There was no debrief.
There was no debrief. Yeah. We were not debriefed to say, hey, you can't ban libraries and municipal offices anymore. Those are your own facilities now. You can't take electricity for free. And like we used to do, it's now going to collapse the economy and all that. So there was no debriefing. We still see the government as an enemy.
The system is the enemy.
Yeah, the system is the enemy. Yeah. So we also needed that. But I think what could help also is to make, active participation of communities and the civil society. Then they get to know. There is something in the law. And in local government, it's called the ward committees.
Mm.
People don't know that the ward committees is not politicians. It's not the guys.
It's you.
It's the members of those communities. Yes. Every ward must have 10 members who are not politicians.
It's like a governing body.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like a governing body of that community, that ward. Guess what happened now? Traditionally, and the ANC must take a blame for this, they had created, because there's an incentive, like you get like R1,000 per month to be a member of the World Committee.
Mm.
But that's not paid to your pocket. It's the money you are supposed to use to go to meetings.
Yes.
When you are in meetings to have lunch. So
petty cash.
When now you are unemployed
and
you are dependent on 350 of SASSA
and
you become a ward committee member that helps to make decision for that ward, you are now having 1,350, understand, as a ward committee member. But South Africans must revive ward committees. When we grew up, you know, the ward committees used to be street committees, but they were part of Mzabalazo. They were part of the street committee that will look at what councillors and how the government treated people. They became politicized. They belonged to political parties. And I know when I grew up, my dad was a secretary of Moka Motlakeng Civic Association for many years.
Yes.
A lot of meetings used to be at home.
Yes.
But then now, on hindsight, I realized that, no, man, he misused that power to have PAC people to be in that street committee or what.
Yes.
Then they started dominating some parts, Takasi.
Mm.
But what committees and civil movements are very important.
Sure.
And this is what can help the people to alleviate the situation. Yeah.
And we're out of time.
I must go.
You must go. Also, later today, people will understand where you have politically moved to.
Yeah.
We wish you nothing but the best.
Thanks, Fresh.
I don't think we deserve you.
Oh.
All your hard work.
Oh.
And I'm hoping you'll be fully appreciated.
I hope so.
That you love this country, you love your community, and all you want is for everyone to do right.
And that's the ticket I'm carrying into this, Fresh. I'm doing this for the love of my country, my labor matter. It's so funny. Mm. My labor matter is ending next month. Finally, finally.
Yes.
There won't be delay or postponement. And now I'm saying, nah, you know what? Let it end. I don't want that job. I can lose half of that salary.
Yes.
To go and serve the people.
Absolutely.
I'm prepared to do that.
Sure.
Yep.
Bosang, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fresh. And the followers.
Where do we find you online, sir?
BosangM@gmail.com, and we're still on 2783-884-7787 on WhatsApp, and @BosangM on social media handles.
Great stuff.
And then they must look for my social media late this afternoon. I will announce.
Great stuff. We're done. It's another episode of Wow What A Week #Politrix with Fresh and Botsang, coming to you from Discover TV. Let them be your stage. Discover TV are in Four Ways, Johannesburg. Find them online, book them, and let them be your stage. Thank you, shout out, and we love and appreciate you to Kela Somodisa King. She is our executive producer. Trevor and his crew at Pezulu Works, they do all of the cinematography. And it'll be wedding season as soon as we come out of this cold spell. If you have an event, unale mokete, and you want to turn it into a movie, Pezulu Works will do that for you. From myself and Botsang, until next week, thank you for joining us. Please remember to like, continue to subscribe and share and comment. Let's have the fights and the brawls in the comment section, but let's do it with respect, in the hope that you can maybe help someone change the way they see the world or they think. Until next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.